Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Good morning. Hurricane Idalia is now a Category 4 storm. That means sustained winds in excess of 130 miles per hour. The hurricane will make landfall within the next 2 hours in and around Taylor County in the Big Bend region of Florida. The National Hurricane Center expects storm surge to reach up to 16 feet in some areas of the Big Bend region. That level of storm surge is life-threatening.
Yeah, as we've been talking about all morning, that was at the 5:30 briefing that the governor gave. It is already on land, as you've heard reported, downgraded to a tropical or to a hurricane Category 3. Still doing tremendous damage, particularly in everything from Perry up to Jacksonville and across to Tallahassee, and then all the way north as far as Vidalia on our News Radio ThreatNet radar is getting rain and wind. And then there's kind of a weird little gap, as often happens in these things, where, you know, just south and east of Perry, kind of around the, Steinhatchee. South and east of there is kind of a gap right now, and then the outer bands trailing down towards Tampa and even Fort Myers, and so you've got like tornado warnings up and down I-75, moving somewhat over towards I-95 now, and then I-4. Obviously, you know, the central portion of the state of Florida just getting absolutely hammered this morning. The good news to a degree is that it's not heavily populated. There's a lot of rural counties there, and so there's not a lot of people, and therefore not a lot of structures particularly at risk. The bad news is because they don't get hurricanes like this there, a lot of those areas are not built up the way we would think of them as being hurricane resilient. And so some of the little beach communities there that are newer have been built up, but some of the older communities that have been there for a long time have never been destroyed like I haven't destroyed here, and so they've never been rebuilt like we rebuilt. You know, a lot of stuff never even did get rebuilt after Ivan. 7:13 here on News Radio 92.3, Coast Guard Rear Admiral Doug Schofield.
The Coast Guard is standing the watch to support our state and federal partners. Our highest priority is always saving lives. We pre-positioned 15 aircraft and more than 25 cutters and 20 flood response teams prepared to respond in the wake of the storm as soon as conditions safely allow. We have pre-positioned aircraft in Miami and West Palm Beach, and they'll be the first ones to respond in the wake of the storm.
Yeah, and reconstitution of ports, clearing of waterways, and one of the, you know, the second priority. First priority is saving life, but that's the second priority.
We will follow in the wake of the storm to also assist with impacts on the east coast of Florida. Our buoy tenders and units will conduct port assessments and reconstitution efforts with their aids to navigation teams and the Army Corps of Engineers. Depending on sea conditions and port conditions, we hope to have those cutters near shore in the next several days.
So they are going to be working on response, you know, afterwards. You have 30,000 linemen standing by to rush in. That has gone up consistently. I mean, I was impressed when it was 20. It was 26,000. Now it's 30,000. Just think, 30,000 linemen ready to go in. That just seems like enormous response. I mean,
did you see the text from Bands on the Beach? Somebody said last night, of course, Bands happens every Tuesday night, but they had all these people lined up in Casino ready to go too.
Waiting and ready and staging. Right, absolutely.
And we love you if you're listening. Thank you.
That's fantastic. Kevin Guthrie saying that the, first responders can't get to you. Part of the reason we cover this is because it's the state of Florida. It's big news. Part of the reason we cover this is, I know some people are like, well, it's not happening here. I understand. But it is our neighbors. This is a big event for our state. It's awful for a lot of people. And, God, I hate to say it, but people get complacent. It's easy to think, well, it hasn't happened or it's not going to happen. Or we get, kind of the false alarms. You see people snarky on Facebook. Look, a chair tipped over on my lawn. Oh, it's a storm. I get it. I understand. And so what I always try to tell you My approach to these kinds of things for this station is, I want you to be aware of the possibility of something coming. I want you to know as soon as we can tell you that we're not going to be affected, I'll try to tell you that we're not going to be affected. And if we're uncertain, I'll tell you we're uncertain. But more importantly, it's a reminder, you know, so I'm not going to make it out to be more than it is, okay? I never want to do that. But I want to just serve as a reminder that, you know, when this happens, how it happens. So in a way, this is like practice for us. This is like a way of understanding how the timeline works and how it's going to affect things and what to be concerned about and also how to react if it does wind up coming here. Because, you know, a lot of the lessons learned or a lot of the, you know, advice that they're giving, even though we're not having to follow it, you don't – habits and practice make good responses in stressful situations. And this is a way of practicing for that by thinking through what would I do and how would I handle this and where would I go and who would I stay with and would I evacuate? Would I not? You know, and that's kind of why I'm doing this also, because I think it's something that we do get kind of complacent about. And also, God, this is so frustrating. There are, I mean, I am guessing based on the numbers that have been shared with me by, you know, some of the EOC type, the emergency manager types, is there's probably 30%. Or 40% of the people maybe who live in this area, like in the Big Bend area, who are waking up this morning going, what's going on? It's kind of loud outside. Because the kids, and I don't mean kids only like 15, I mean like up to 30 and sometimes 40, are getting all of their information from social media and TikTok and Instagram and what their friends who are also getting their information from, some, you know.
Right.
And they don't even know, because those sources don't provide the kind of contextualized, significant information that your traditional media, newspapers, radio, and television are going to do. And it's frustrating because I know these folks want to save lives, and, you know, how can you save people's lives when they don't even know there's supposed to be a hurricane coming? So anyway, just all of that to say this. I know on the one hand, a lot of you find this very, very important and, you know, sort of appreciate the coverage. And there are other people who are like, Andrew, God, can you please talk about something else? Like, I understand. There's a reason, okay? We're not just doing it because it's happening. There's more thinking to it than that. 718 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
We're watching another accident. This is 29 southbound, just above 10 Mile Road, and it looks blocked quite a ways, all the way back to West Roberts Road. So caution there, and caution wherever you are. We also see, and I don't think this is related, but at 95A in Gateway Lane, there is another bad accident. This happened a couple hours ago, and there's a roadblock northbound and southbound near 29 in that area, too. So watch your emergency crews in both areas, and certainly let us know if you know different or you have a traffic tip. You can always text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Strength for Life listener, have you heard about our church's Awana program? Northstone Baptist Church here in Pensacola is once again hosting Awana Club for children 3 years old through the sixth grade. Awana is an internationally known Bible verse memory program in which children learn the Bible and play fun games in a safe environment. It's a great way for three-year-olds through sixth graders to learn about the God who made them and hide His word in their heart. Registration is now open, so go to northstonebaptist.org and click on the Awana tab to register your child. Northstone is a thriving church located on the northwest corner of Pensacola, close to the intersection of Pine Forest and Nine Mile. Our Awana program starts the first Wednesday night in September and meets every Wednesday night throughout the school year. For more information about our Awana program or about Northstone Baptist Church, check us out at northstonebaptist.org or our Strength for Life ministry at strengthforlife.church.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at David's Catfish House. David's Catfish is serving only the best Mississippi catfish and fresh Gulf seafood, as well as generous portions of delicious southern sides. Every Wednesday is Wacky Wednesday, featuring $5.99 lunch basket specials until 3 p.m. And get ready for Shrimp-tastic Thursday. They're serving fresh seafood daily at David's Catfish House. Visit them on Dogwood Drive in Milton or on New Warrington Road in Pensacola. Welcome to David's, where southern and seafood meet.
Hurricane season is here, and Gulf Breeze Natural Gas helps provide the most reliable energy source. There are advantages to having natural gas in your home or business. Major storms typically do not cause widespread outages because gas lines are buried and protected. Most appliances, including cooking and hot water, still work during electrical outages. A gas generator gets everything back up and running within 30 seconds. That's the length of this commercial. Learn more about how to be best prepared at GulfBreezeNaturalGas.com.
Don't miss Sibling Harmony Trio, Girl Named Tom, live at the Pensacola Sanger Theater on Friday, September 15th. Experience the familial harmonies and heartfelt performances of the first ever trio to win NBC's The Voice on September the 15th. Reserved seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Nanu! Nanu!
Good morning, 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. It looks like we may have had a shooting incident this morning at Olive and Johnson. I'm trying to find out more information from the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. I've also gotten a report that the tactical vehicle was seen heading out to Pensacola Beach. There's a couple of listed as agency assist out on Pensacola Beach right now. We're trying to figure out what was going on with all of that. We'll certainly get you more information as we learn it. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, now that Idalia has made landfall in the Big Bend area, there's tornado watches in effect across Central Florida. The National Weather Service says that tornadoes spawned by the hurricane are possible in 10 different Florida counties through later on this afternoon. Today, the two-year anniversary of the last U.S. military flight leaving Afghanistan. The final departure came days after the then-president of Afghanistan, his wife, and senior aides all fled the country when the Taliban took over. And the writers and actors strike continuing in Hollywood, Andrew, and late-night TV shows have been on pause for a little while. Apparently, the late-night TV stars are getting a little bit bored, looking for something to do. Spotify announced yesterday Stephen Colbert, Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, and John Oliver are all starting a new podcast.
Okay.
Well, that was underwhelming.
Well, they won't have writers.
John Oliver, Jimmy Kimmel, who's the other one?
Seth Meyers, John Oliver, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Stephen Colbert.
That's a lot of dudes.
It is.
I know that all are going to be jockeying.
They're all
going
to be trying to get the jab in or the comment in or the it could be very entertaining, and it could be
a train wreck.
XY chromosome, The View. I mean, you know, that's what it could be as well.
Come on, it's going to be way worse than The View.
I won't say one. I'll wait
possible?
And see. I was going to say, yeah, that's a fair question.
Yes.
724 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? I mean, obviously, we're watching the storm, paying attention to that. Somebody texted, Andrew, talking about muscle memory. That's how you learn to do things the right way when the stress hits, because otherwise you won't know how to do it. Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Do I want to... all right, fine. I'm kind of wondering whether I wanted to get into this morning, but it was kind of an interesting moment. Last week during the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, here's how it started, okay? Chris Kerb, who's flood defenders, and he always shows up to talk about flood-related issues, but here's how this all began.
I really think you need to increase your investments in your staff so you don't lose good people like Chris that went to Escambia County, or Amy Tuttle that went to... City of Pensacola.
Yeah, there have been a lot of people have left Santa Rosa County over the last about year and a half or so. Chris Phillips left and came to Escambia. Amy Tuttle left and went to the city. James Cook left. Eric Garancagnolo, I always mispronounce her name. She left and came to over here. So, you know, there has been an exodus, and so he says, you need to work on this problem.
You're getting a lot more funding through your ad valorem taxes because you're growing. Well, as you grow, you need to take that investment, that additional funding, and put it into your staff so you can keep good people and you can hire more people. Because I think you really need to do some improvements in your areas of maintenance and public works.
And he's right about that. It's the same kind of thing, you know, broadly speaking, that D.C. Reeves is talking about with maintaining your you know, hiring staff in order to maintain your buildings. He's talking about it for, like, your retention ponds and things like that. And he says, look, there has not always been a good emphasis on that, and that's why we've lost some of these people. I'll come back to this in a second because we'll get there. You'll see why I'm doing this, okay? Candy's got traffic on the fives.
An accident at Gateway Lane and then Highway 29.
Conditions are deteriorating.
Whoops, sorry about that. At Gateway Lane and Highway 29 this morning. This is just above 10 miles. Somebody texted in and said 29 southbound is backed up because people are rubbernecking at that accident. And that's what it is, it looks like. It is just backed up the whole way through, backed up quite a ways on 29 southbound. And there's a roadblock, it looks like, in both directions on 29 after a very bad accident a couple hours ago now that this happened this morning. But they're still performing investigations. And use caution there wherever you are, 437-1620. So just watch out around that area. It's near 10 mile and 29, bad accident. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yeah. So back to the Santa Rosa County Commission where they were talking about, Chris Kerb was talking about how you need to hire more staff. You know, the county's grown, the ad valorem has grown. You need to hire more staff to take care of the basic things that, you know, because staff is services. Right, and you know that's the idea.
I remember I think it was last year or early. Y'all were talking about and hiring three new code enforcement inspector guys, and you know James was like, oh, we don't need to increase staff. We need to cut staff. You know, well, you know that's a federal thing. You know, our federal government spending is out of control. You're right. We do need to cut our federal spending. Locally? I don't think so. I think we need to increase it.
So he says we need to increase staff, and he gives the example of previously there was an effort to hire, I forget whether it was three or four, but to hire some staff to do like code enforcement stuff, and James Calkins balked at that, and as Chris said, you know, says he wanted to actually cut staff at the time. So, of course, James Calkins says...
Mr. Chairman, I want to just
not my generation.
Quick comment, if that's okay, because the gentleman said that I said I wanted to cut staff. I have never said I wanted to cut staff. I have never said that one time, and that is untrue. What I did say is we need to stop the growth of government. So that's what I said.
Okay. All right. So what did he actually say? Well, I went back and I pulled the clip. What did he say at the time about staff and staffing levels and adding, cutting, or keeping the same?
Respectfully, again, you know, I oppose. I think this is growing the government and just adting more employees. This is, I've been here for 2 years and there's been so many tries. And I appreciate this board because a lot of times that we have knocked them down. But there has been so many asks to raise fees for this, raise fees for that, raise fees for this and that. And I've been opposed to every one of those initiatives, and then the board has been probably opposed to half of them, which has benefited our residents. But again, this is another addition of four employees. I remember last year there was an addition of around 10 employees, and I think we need to cut the government. I was elected to cut the government, and that's what we should do. That's how we can be competitive with other counties, remain the lowest, instead of being the second lowest tax county, we could be the first lowest tax county.
So he said they wanted more employees, and I campaigned on cutting government. Cutting employees is the context, right? I want to cut. What does he mean to cut other than to cut employees? So what did he say at the county commission meeting? He said, no, I would never say something like that.
Staff. I have never said I wanted to cut staff. I have never said that one time, and that is untrue.
Okay, but what he actually said at the meeting was?
Another addition of four employees. I remember last year there was an addition of around 10 employees, and I think we need to cut the government.
Sorry, James. But the value of having a public record is that you can compare the things you claim to the things you have said in the past. And when you're wrong, I won't say lying. He might misremember. Lying means you know you're wrong. But when you're wrong, we're going to call you on it. We'll be back in just a few minutes. David Wayne's got your local news after Fox.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. Hurricane Idalia has made landfall in Florida. The wind is strong enough to do a lot of damage. The bigger danger is water.
The damage is going to be the storm surge. And when you're talking about 16 feet across this shallow land, it's going to cause massive catastrophic damage, unfortunately.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, the wind and rain is going to last for hours across much of Florida. Governor Ron DeSantis.
When the storm passes, do not drive in flooded streets and assume that all down power lines are still hot and live.
Georgia and the Carolinas in the storm's path next. Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, after 4 days in China trying to ease trade tensions, says she hopes to see results from those meetings in the next few weeks. No major breakthroughs to report, though, from the trip to Beijing and Shanghai. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, 76 degrees. It is partly cloudy, a nice morning here in Pensacola. Of course, we're still following Hurricane Idalia, making landfall earlier this morning as a Category 3 storm, a major hurricane, and they are expecting dangerous storm surges in the Big Bend area.
Swirling winds whip up ocean waves, creating a wall of water that can inundate a community. Storm surge has been compared to blowing on a hot cup of coffee, pushing the liquid over the brim. In this case, the storm surge in the Big Bend is estimated at 12 to 16 feet. The center of Idalia is making landfall in a sparsely populated area, but storm surge will be felt across most of Florida's Gulf Coast. I'm Rory O'Neill.
And, of course, we've been following this storm throughout the morning. Earlier today, in the 5 o'clock hour, Governor Ron DeSantis, Kevin Guthrie from the Florida Division of Emergency Management holding a press conference at the Emergency Operations Center in Tallahassee. They say that at that hour, there were about 54,000 homes without power. That's surely gone up by now. But as soon as the winds start dying down, power recovery efforts in the Big Bend and other areas affected by this storm will continue.
There will be an immediate effort to restore power to people who lose power. There's 30,000 plus linemen stationed and ready to go to commence restoration efforts. For local municipalities and electric co-ops, please accept mutual aid. These are folks that can come supplement your efforts. And again, the goal is just to get everybody back online as quickly as possible.
And the governor also said they've got over 650 trucks ready to go to start clearing debris and clearing routes. Also, he said urban search and rescue teams were on standby to begin rescue operations as the storm moves through. We are seeing reports of a fatal crash on Highway 29 earlier this morning. That happened near Gateway Lane, and FHP says at least one person has died there. We'll get an update with Candy in a couple of minutes and see how that is looking. The city of Pensacola getting almost $500,000. That's going to go towards a new mobile command center. The funds are available through the Department of Homeland Security's Port Security Grant Program. That's available to communities with deep water ports.
Got an 80-20 cost share, so the total cost of the mobile command center is about $650,000. The city and PPD will put up about $165,000 of that $650,000.
And Reeves says that command center will be used by both Pensacola Fire and Police Departments, not just for emergencies at the port, but anywhere else in the community that it may be needed. The Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office says a man claiming to be the Joker was arrested over the weekend. 29-year-old Anthony Moreno was charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. This happened over the weekend on Sunday. Moreno allegedly threatened deputies with a crowbar after they'd responded to a hotel in Milton on a suspicious person call. When deputies arrived, they say they found Moreno covered in white paint. He reportedly had not taken some prescribed medication in about a decade. And the day before, deputies had trespassed him from the same hotel. He's currently being held on $15,000 bond. 7:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s.
Did you see his mugshot?
I did, yes.
It's not funny, but my God. And yes, you should always take your meds. Take that from me, who also takes meds, not so I don't do that. State Troopers Medical Examiner on scene on South 95A. The entire road is blocked off this morning. This is just across from Gateway Lane. David mentioned this earlier in the report, and that's exactly what this is. Now, 29th southbound is backed up for this reason, and it's close to 29 and 10 mile, just to give you an idea. So use caution there. Use caution wherever you are. But 29th southbound looks like is blocked for this reason, and just very slow in that area. And God, look, it's backed up to Kingsfield, it looks like, at this point. So that's what that slowdown is. Maybe taking another route if you can. 437-1620 if you have those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hello.
Hey, just wanted to give you a quick note. I talked to the sheriff's office and asked what the dispatch tactical vehicle to the beach was. They had reports of rising water. And so they wanted to have it out there just in case there needed to be a response, which I assume is connected to the hurricane. So we are even seeing apparently some kind of surge effects even out here. And that's what that was all about. And so just kind of keep your eyes open and be aware, you know, we can still see some kinds of effect. That's all that
Absolutely.
Was about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you have traffic, text them in. Thank you, Andrew. 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing scattered showers and thunderstorms throughout the day today. 50% chance of rain overall, high near 92 degrees. Rough conditions on the Gulf. We do have red flags expected to fly over area beaches. Overnight tonight, temperatures will be dropping into the 70s. As you go into Thursday, we are going to have scattered showers and thunderstorms continues with highs in the low 90s. Temperatures overnight near 70 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it is a nice 76 degrees in Pensacola, Gulf Breeze, and also in Milton. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. A biotech company says next month its life-saving opioid overdose antidote will be available over-the-counter without a prescription. That's the Narcan nasal spray from Emergent BioSolutions. It'll set pricing at $45 per carton of two doses. Opioid overdose is the leading cause of accidental death in the U.S. The average EMS response time is 10 minutes, so having Narcan in a first aid kit can truly be a life or death difference. The busiest summer travel season on record will end with a flourish. That's the word from TSA, which expects to screen 14 million people at America's airports over Labor Day weekend. Friday is projected to be the busiest day, with nearly 3 million air travelers expected. The historic demand to fly has helped profits take and Delta. On Wall Street, futures are mixed after stocks have posted three straight days of gains. That's Your Money Now.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Deep climbing.
Daniels four-man rush, and first got him again. Bounces to the outside of the five. He's in. Touchdown, FSU.
The season kicks off from Orlando on Sunday, September 3rd against the LSU Tigers. Kickoff is set for 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, with pregame coverage starting at 5 Eastern, 4 Central, right here on your home for Florida State football.
FSU versus LSU, Sunday at 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3, AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Check out the farm-to-table vendors, arts and crafts, and unique shopping Saturday from 9 to 1 at the Highway 87 Outdoor Market at Pickett's. Find out more at getrelaxing.com. Get your beach chairs and enjoy another Cinemas in the Sand Friday night at the Gulfside Pavilion stage. It's a free event, and the greatest showman begins at sunset. Visit Pensacola.com for more. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage.
If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Good morning, 740 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Mayor D.C. Reeves joins us this time every single Wednesday. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're doing well. We're obviously praying and thinking a lot about our neighbors to the east and the situation that they are still enduring, and, of course, what they're going to find out is true after the storm passes through and all the reconstruction that they're facing. We well know this problem here in Pensacola. I wanted to ask you, you made the announcement yesterday. I admit, I did not know that Fire Station 4 had been closed because of mold issues. I remember the issues with Fire Station 3, and we actually had to build a new fire station because of all of that. This one was able to be caught in time to be remediated?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is one of those that's been going on for several months, and we even looked at the building and its age and made sure that it was the right thing to do. Because, you know, you start remediating mold, you don't know where it's going to end sometimes. As a matter of fact, we were thankful, all said and done, we budgeted about $250,000 for the remediation at 4, and we only spent about $165,000, but you never know.
Right.
So we even started to have some conversations about whether we, you know, a 30-year-old building, it should last 50 years, but, you know, what, make sure we were being prudent with the taxpayer dollar. But a good outcome. We got back in there a little sooner than we thought and under budget, so those are both good things. And glad to have that back online.
And by the way, kudos to you for, you know, being willing to ask to spend the money on getting another, you know, building services kind of overseer to handle, well, you know, the community centers, because, you know, what we seem to be finding is, boy, everything is in worse shape than we thought. And we want to prevent these problems and catch them before they get to this point, because that's how we're going to save money. It's an investment to save money, not a spend to, you know, just spend money, right?
Exactly. I look at it as that's not an addition to the budget. It should be a huge boost to our expense line. Yeah, I mean, when you have two people looking at buildings, and you think about some of the buildings we own have been through two major hurricanes, you know, whether it be Ivan, of course, Sally, and whatever damage took place there that you maybe didn't see at the time. And not only that, just the general age and deterioration of the building. And so having two sets of eyes, not just one, on all these assets we have is a no-brainer for me. I mean, I think this person should pay for themselves in spades in terms of being able to save costs and not get to a situation like we are in several of our buildings right now.
Yeah, it's sort of like, you know, hiring a grants person. Well, that position will pay for itself.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say so far that office has paid for it, so, you know, somewhere in the $80 million range in 9 months. I think that's covered their cost.
You know, I was just playing some clips out of Santa Rosa County. They were talking about the challenge of staffing and, of course, you know, keeping good staff, paying your staff enough, hiring positions as your tax base and your population grows so that you can at least maintain a level of service. Because, you know, if the population level grows and you don't expand your capabilities, then you will, by definition, be providing less service per person. What's kind of your view of that at the city? Is it better to grow? Is it better to maintain? Is it better to reward the people you've got? Are you doing anything in this regard?
Yeah, so we had that salary study, and look, I think you have two options as an organization. You can say that we want to invest in our people and expect higher outcomes, be more efficient, and be able to, if you do have low performers in your organization, you're more likely to make the right change with low performers because you are paying competitively enough to replace them with a quality candidate. Or you can take what a lot of municipalities, cities and counties and others do, is they, you know, did chalk it up to complacency. Hey, it's government work. And I just don't understand that. I mean, to put our head in the sand and say, oh, well, this job should pay $14 an hour, $15 an hour, the same as a fast food joint. What always sticks with me is in hospitality, the average cost of turnover I'm talking about from a bartender to a bartender, waiter to a waiter, is about $6,000 to the organization between overtime you pay, training, lack of quality customer service that leads to lower revenue, all that. And that's just in a hospitality position. And so you think about what the true cost of when people get there and then leave after 90 days, 6 months, there's a hidden cost there that's extreme. And so I'd rather run a little bit of a tighter ship in terms of the organization, not sit around with vacant positions that have been open for years that haven't been filled, but then just put in, let's pay the people what they deserve to be paid. We have to compete with the private market in some ways and with other municipalities. We're behind at the city right now. That's what we've learned. But we're going to get there. We're going to have a significant reform to how we reward the people who work here and that they're proud to work here every day. And I think that's the challenge we have and that we're going to take head on.
Well, if you, you know, and I mean, it brings a level of accountability to you as the mayor or as, you know, senior management, because and I'm just numbers out of the thin air here. But, you know, let's say you've got budgeted 200 positions, but you've only got 150 people on staff. Well, you know, the work of 200 people is what it takes to run the city. And you got to figure 150 people are doing the work of 200. So might as well pay them, you know, pay them the extra third that basically would have been paid to somebody else because the work is getting done. And that also incentivizes, you know, that does a lot of things for the health of the organization. It kind of keeps you accountable to try to make sure that, you know, people aren't being overburdened too much. Right. So that all makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and remember, when you have vacant positions as a city, they have to be budgeted. I mean, in essence, you're paying those positions.
Right.
You can't take that money and spend it on something else. So why not get more efficient? And that's what I mean. Not really get significantly smaller, but just be more efficient and smarter with the way that we use those dollars year to year.
We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola. Let's take a quick traffic break. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, bad accident. And David mentioned this earlier. It's a fatality. 95A and 29 this morning. It was just above 10 Mile Road. Now, it looks like it's blocked on 95A, and it is. But 29 southbound, very, very, very slow for that reason because people are stopping to look at that. Now, investigation's still underway. The ME, as I understand, is there. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, something I neglected to ask you last week, I meant to and then I just forgot, was, you know, there's been kind of this back and forth between you and the Escambia Children's Trust over the building and the services you want to provide there. And you had some fairly strong words, I thought, directed at staff at the Escambia Children's Trust. And, you know, a couple of days after that, the executive director announced that she was resigning, and they're finding somebody else new. Your reaction to that?
Well, look, I think whatever she thinks is the best for her life and her future is totally fine. That certainly wasn't my expectation. But I do have a clear expectation, which is I just want to know what the rules are. I mean, that whoever the new executive director is, not just for the city, not selfishly for me, but for the sheriff's department, for whoever's applying for these dollars that wants to help the children in our community. That's all I've asked for. It can lose in a 0-9, whatever the number is, vote when it gets to the board, if that's what happens. So I don't put any of this on the board. And it's unfortunate that it's mentioned that this was somehow political. It never had a chance to be political, to be honest with you. We couldn't get past the logistical phase, much less if it were to be political. So I think that's kind of a lazy rationalization here to say that was what the issue is. At the end of the day, I don't care who does this. If we can have 1,800 children within walking distance of a place where they can get medical care, 1,800 underserved part of our community in the city and the county, then I don't care who does it. I support it. You know, and so we want to do the right thing here. And certainly, again, I believe in a lot of the people and their hearts and their spirit for this community that are on that board. And I really hope that moving forward, they're able to have the staff that they need to make sure that they are in the best position to make an impact for our community.
Can you help me understand? I don't really understand the mobile command grant for PPD because it's connected with the port. How is the port connected to this? What is the thing we're actually going to be getting?
Yeah, so it's actually what you'd think of as a mobile command center, you know,
an RV.
A unit that you'd be able to. But it's through a port grant. And the argument is, if something were to happen at the port or in the port area, that would allow us to have a setup. I mean, be it post-hurricane, whatever the case may be, you'd be able to have that. But of course, it's not limited to only being able to be used there. So it was really an ability to leverage our port keep it more secure, as well as the reverberating impact of that is to be able to have some more mobile commands and more response, basically, for the city of Pensacola. So that us having the port allowed us to be able to apply for that grant. And, you know, that's another $500,000 that helps keep us safer and another public safety investment.
I'm not going to turn down the money. I'm not going to say we shouldn't have a mobile command center. It just still strikes me as I don't ever remember there being the need for a big response at the port. And it seems kind of like we found a way to get the money and they approved it. So all good. That's what it looks like to me. So they're paying for a thing that's probably maybe never going to be used in that particular way, but still we'll have it. That's what it seems like to me. And that's fine. You know, I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing something. And I don't think I was. We always like to end with the lightning. Oh, actually, before anybody who's already planned to go to hurricane relief, anybody that you know that's tasked toward that right now?
As of this morning, no, but of course we've been in contact. I mean, we would have resources. We're a little strapped at the moment, but we would have resources available, certainly. And as I mentioned, I called the mayor of Tallahassee yesterday and told him to reach out, Mayor Daley, if there's anything that we could be helpful with moving forward. So not at this moment, but if we need to, we could.
Hey, and sometimes, you know, some people don't remember to ask, and when you let them know in advance that they can ask, that's a helpful thing, so I appreciate that. All right, the lightning round, we ask you quick questions. I hate to bring this up because it's a painful for all of us. You one time worked at Blockbuster. Netflix is, you know, getting rid of their DVD distribution service. Does that make you happy or sad?
It just means I'm getting old. I can't believe it. I remember when DVDs was the hot thing when I was working in the Airport Boulevard location.
Do you still have any DVDs, or are you all streaming?
I'm all streaming. I'm probably in my attic. You know, but,
I think there's a lot of attics and a lot of storage units and things like that. Your family, are they card players? If so, what's the card game of preference?
Ooh, actually, we'll do a little bit, but no, with Caroline being 9, we've actually just started playing a little Monopoly, and I've lost. I've been last place every time we play, so I don't know what that means. Hopefully, I'm using all my resources towards the city.
Not so much the Monopoly. All of your business strategic skills are being used for the city. And then last one, somewhere around 40% to half of all Americans watch TV with the subtitles on because it's hard for them to hear or it's poorly mixed. When you watch TV, subtitles on or subtitles not on? Or only when needed?
This has been now handed to me. My girlfriend, Sydney, is a proud disciple of the captions.
Okay.
So now, by osmosis, I now do watch it with captions, and it's kind of nice. You know, I can have it on in the background, work on the computer and whatnot. So, I'm getting older, but I'm trying to adapt, Andrew. You know?
I appreciate that, and I love the fact that you corrected me. Captions, not subtitles, because it's not a foreign language, although sometimes it might seem like it, especially if it's a Guy Ritchie film. D.C. Reeves, he is the mayor of Pensacola. As always, Mr. Mayor, thanks for the time. We'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You bet. 753 on News Radio 92.3. See? Captions, not subtitles. He's right.
Excuse me.
We'll be back.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Do you know the impact video has in the minds of your future customer? In today's world, the average person consumes up to 6 hours of video a day. That is 25% of their time. If that large of a segment of their day is spent watching video, what's your company doing to create consumable content? Does your marketing and advertising strategy reflect appearing where they're watching this content? If it doesn't yet, it will soon. We are ADX Digital, and we help businesses leverage the power of video by putting brands just like yours in front of consumers using a wide variety of video marketing strategies, including social media mirroring, OTT, Amazon, video pre-roll, YouTube, Facebook and Instagram, and more. Ready to learn how we can do this for you? Email me today at connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com. That's connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life. From carpooling kids, to work, to friends, and everything in between. You have to get sleep. And a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements. Learning how you sleep, so you learn to sleep better. Night after night. Sleep next level. Only from Sleep Number.
Don't miss our Labor Day special. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Labor Day.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
A message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Treat yourself. It's the best day of the year.
When was the last time you heard a good LL Cool J jam? Yeah, come on. I can't live without my radio. 756 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative. Ladies love Cool James.
They do. He's going back to Cali. All right, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I don't think so.
No, nice.
That's a callback, y'all. And again, watching this accident, we've been talking about this all morning, and medical examiners on scene, 95A in Gateway Lane, which is real close to 29. Of course, this is in Cantoma, just above 10 Mile, 29 southbound. Now, part of 29 is closed. The road is closed. There's a block because of this investigation that's happening right now. So that's what the slowdown is, or the stop, I should say, 29 southbound. Caution there, caution wherever you are. I-10 and North Davis Highway showing an accident. Looks like it has been cleared off to the side, though, possibly. And on the west, well, more west side, Highway 29 and Michigan Avenue, roadblock on 29 there in that area as well. That's 29 in Michigan. You see an accident or a slowdown, 437-1620. Text in those traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Oh, I did talk to Escambia County Sheriff's Office. First of all, the report of the tactical vehicle headed out to the beach, that was in response to reports of water rising, and just in case they wanted to have something out on the beach in case that was necessary. Also, there has been a shooting this morning. One person treated for a gunshot wound, a male, and then transported to the hospital at the Essex Point Apartments on Johnson, right behind the Circle K, right at the Olive intersection there. They think that it is probably a domestic related, but they do not have assailant in custody at this time, but they wanted to assure me they don't believe this is any kind of an active or ongoing incident. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David, we have had landfall for this hurricane, came aboard as a 3/4, right?
Yes, Hurricane Idalia made landfall as a Category 3 earlier this morning.
A part of Florida that has never seen a storm this powerful. The storm's making landfall in largely wetlands not heavily populated, but here in Perry, about 7,000 people live here. There will likely be significant property damage.
And the eye came ashore in Keaton Beach earlier this morning, and they had sustained wind speeds when that happened at about 125 miles an hour. Now they're expecting storm surge as high as 16 feet in certain areas. Civil rights groups are upset about a shooting at the Mexican border. A Texas National Guardsman apparently shot across the Rio Grande this week and hit a man on the Mexican side of the border.
We know that they're being trained as if it was a war zone, as if the migrants were the enemy. Sadly, we expect this to happen.
And reports are it may have been related to a smuggler assaulting some migrants. So we'll learn more about that as we go on.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We'll talk more about the hurricane coming up in a moment. I'm sure you'll get a good update from Fox News here at the top of the hour. But, man, all eyes
listen
on Big
Ben. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.